Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horik and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys in the Netherlands.
Welcome, Wayne Tuck from Pegamento, to the Marketing Technology Podcast. Wayne, Pegamento, explain. You know, that's a nice name, but it's probably something that means something in a different language.
It absolutely does. So Pegamento is a Spanish word for glue. 10 years ago, well, actually 11 years ago, we started the company using a product called e-glue, as in electronic glue, and we needed to find a name. And, you know, we're technologically creative, but at that point in time, we didn't have a marketing manager, so we just typed glue into Google and made it translate. And this is really honestly the story. And Pegamento came up and we thought, hey, that sounds fun. Let's just call it Pegamento.
Things can be so simple.
Cool. Sometimes it can. Yeah, sometimes it can. So, okay.
It means glue. You also mentioned that you already found that name 10 years ago. So you've been around for 10 years. So that means you had your 10th anniversary this year?
Yeah, absolutely right. We organized quite a couple of parties and celebrated with some of our customers that's been with us for 10 years. And, you know, we started with 3 people. And right now we're just over 60, 65 people. And in our branch in our industry, it's quite a large number of people for after 10 years, so we're quite proud.
So what does Pegamento do? What do those 65 people achieve together?
Are you going to help us with
the core of the company is actually encapsulated in the name. And we glue things. We stick applications together. So what we actually do is we optimize processes, any kind of process, and we combine multiple applications to make a process run as smoothly as possible. So the best example of that is if you are an insurance company and customers want to order a new insurance from you, usually your contact center agent has to navigate 10, 15 applications to be able to, you know, arrange that insurance for you. And what we do is we kind of create a layer over that process and then automate parts or all of the activities.
Okay. So you are in a specific industry, customer contact. That's correct, right?
Yeah. Customer facing. Look, it's quite simple. We asked this question for some people that know University of Nijenrode. We had an event there. And the one question we asked the attendees, which were kind of all CEOs, you know, it's like, how do you make your money? So where do you get your money from? And the one said, you know, TV, the other one said insurance, and the other one said cars. And we made the joke, well, that's kind of funny because we get money from our customers. Right, customers, consumers pay you money for things. Never seen a TV give you money for anything. So the philosophy of our company is really that true change and true performance improvement and true satisfaction can only be measured against our customers. So consumers determine how well a company does and how friendly a company is. So we're very much focused on consumers to make their journey for our customers as easy as possible.
Okay, and so how do you make that life of that consumer easier?
So one of the things that we saw is that quite often consumers expected to understand the company that they're dealing with. So, you know, you have to fill in form 5 and then go to site ABC and then phone department X. And it's kind of like you are the navigator for a large corporation. And that kind of brings a lot of effort with it. So I don't know if you guys know the consumer or the customer effort score. It's a new version of the Net Promoter Score. And what that basically says is how difficult is it to deal with a company. What you see is that with the advent of new technologies, new communication channels, that it has become increasingly difficult to engage with companies regarding a specific problem. So what we try and do is combine those technologies, combine those communication channels, and combine the internal applications and make that process as easy as possible. So that all sounds a bit like gibberish, I think. So let me give you an example. One of our customers sells central heating systems. And so you're a consumer, your central heating system breaks down and you need a new one and you basically want it yesterday, not tomorrow. So you call this company. Now, before, what used to happen is you used to get an appointment and an engineer would come to your house and look at your current installation. And that takes time, and that's time that you didn't actually want to have to spend as a consumer. You didn't quite understand what was going on. So then after the engineer was there, you would go back to the office, and then you get an email with an offer. So we said, okay, looking at this process, let's turn it around. Customer is digital. 90% of the customers are digital somehow. So create a nice website, the look and feel of the company, and the customer can just request a new installation via the website. But the problem for our customer was still, okay, we need to know what the current installation of this customer looks like. So what we did is we integrated WhatsApp and we said, okay, dear end customer, consumer, we got your request for your new central heating system. Just send us pictures through WhatsApp of your current installation. And then we used some artificial intelligence to start and interpret what kind of installation you have and if there are any specifics that we need to take care of. Now, what this all meant is that for the consumer, in this case, instead of waiting 2-3 days for only the offer for a new central heating system, we got it down to 24 minutes. And the consumer was happy because they know what to do. They could use something that they're very familiar with, in this case, WhatsApp, and just combine the whole process and actually include the customer in this journey in a very, very easy manner.
So is it that you mold the complex processes that's within a company and where in the old times or in the current times, a consumer has to follow that unknown process? Is it that you mold it so that it's in his consumer's world, and that doesn't the consumer doesn't have to think how that process is going on? Was it more natural?
Oh, that's absolutely perfect. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, well said. Yeah, that's exactly what we do. Yeah. So we ensure that just like what you said, we ensure that the consumer is comfortable in navigating the process and doesn't have to understand all the internal procedures. On the other hand, you also have, for example, call center agents or internal users, where you as a marketing manager wants a specific look and feel of communication towards your customers.
Yeah.
Now, what would you usually do? You'd say, okay, when you send an email about a new car insurance, you have to use this template. And when you send an email regarding a new health insurance, you have to use this template.
So actually, now, you're like a translated glue. You glue things together, but you change or you transform that glue instead of just sticking one thing to another. You translate it so that it's the language of the consumer, and on the other side of the glue part, it's the language of the organization instead of forcing the consumer to understand and work with the organization's process.
Correct.
So This kind of intrigues me because we of course at the Marketing Technology Podcast we love technology, and especially if we can use AI to improve stuff, that's very neat. On the other hand, I do see and hear in presentations more and more people that say, hey, you know, people want to have real contact. So I was in a presentation by Stephen van Bellegem last week, for example. He said, you know, you can automate everything, but only people have hearts, and you know, people can do personal communications. People want to communicate with people, and I would like to know what you think about it, because you can, of course, automate a lot of stuff, but personal contact seems to become more a scarcity, but even more valuable because of that scarcity. What do you think about that transition?
Well, that's absolutely correct. And if you, let me try to explain this in a proper way. Again, let's go back to the example of you're trying to get a new car insurance. So when you're talking to somebody, let's say over the phone in this case, to a call center agent, and they are busy interacting with their applications instead of talking to you, you are going to notice that as a consumer. So we use AI to, for example, interpret what a customer is saying. The customer says, hey, I'm looking for new car insurance. I'm so happy I bought a new BMW X8 or something. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of the agent saying, oh yeah, that's really nice, but what is your customer number? Let me just enter it into this system. And where did you buy the car? So that's the way that it usually happens. But we changed our process around where we take all that system interaction away from the call center agents and just actually let them have the conversation with the customer. So that's exactly what we try to do. Try to take away everything that needs to be done with the keyboard and mouse as much as possible, and give the agent more time to actually talk to the customer and hear what they need. That's one part of it. To be able to have this kind of customer intimacy that you're talking about, you need more resources, but more resources is more money usually. So by simplifying the interaction with your applications, which remain necessary because, you know, you need to bill your consumers in the end. You need to know what kind of products they bought from you. You need to reduce the time that's necessary to process things and to put it into an administration and create more time to talk to the customer. So instead of spending 5 minutes on a case where you only have 1 minute to talk to the customer, what we say is, okay, we try to reduce the system interaction to 30 seconds and still give you 2 minutes of actual talking time to the customer. So you actually increase that. So I think he's absolutely right. And combining those things, automating things, doesn't mean that you have less time to interact with your customers. It actually means you have more time to interact with your customers.
Both for the companies and the end users, a win-win. You know, that sounds absolutely great. And it should, I think, everyone that's listening and is in people contact or contact management or contact care, you know, wants to achieve something like this. I don't think there is a reason why you wouldn't want to have this. Is this something only the big ones can do? Let's say you're talking about insurance companies. An Allianz or Achmea here in the Netherlands or whatsoever. Those companies have the big contact centers and the big budgets. But what if you're an SME company and you have like your own contact center with only, let's say, 20, 30, 40 people in it? Could you achieve something there as well, or is this only for the big ones?
No, 100%. Actually, one of our latest customers only has 15 users, so 1-5. And they are active in basically trash collection, and they themselves have larger customers, but they only have 15 users. And within 2 weeks, we automated simple requests. I believe 53% of their requests we automated. So you don't have to be large at all to be able to use this technology. That's an absolute misconception.
Oh, that's absolutely cool. So in this example, you have someone in trash, so a trash collector. At this marketing technology podcast, we always try to be as pragmatic as possible. So if some other trash collector or anyone with a small contact center is listening at the moment, what would be the first thing to start with? How do I get to this utopia that you're talking about? Because this sounds absolutely great. So I can imagine a lot of people want to do this. So where do we start?
Apart from I think that part is quite just, you know, the boring part of everything. Just look at your value chain and look at the activities that add value to your customers. And you know, maybe there are companies that are too internally focused. Just look to what are the things that you are doing that are actually adding value to your customers, and everything else you can automate. So when it doesn't add value to, let's say, copy paste an address from A to B, just to start thinking, how can I get rid of that part of the process? I think that's the absolute first step. You know, in big consulting terms, it's value chain analysis. But it's absolutely true. So anything that doesn't add value, see how you can stop doing that. Secondly, and I think that's very important, there's this great thing going on now about, you know, chatbots and chat automation, and that is just not the answer to everything, because an AI bot will probably only frustrate your customers if you don't do it properly. So really think, what are the things that are of low personal value to your customers, and maybe try and look at to automate those. So you're a marketing manager, you're trying to push selling, let's say, travel insurance. Now, travel insurance is a little button somewhere when you order a new trip to Nairobi, right?
Yep.
Driving to Nairobi, you're high interest, it's high value to you, it's a big travel for you. You're looking at, you know, where am I going to stay? What am I going to eat? And then somewhere at the bottom, it says, do you want travel insurance? And you think, yeah, okay, fine, click, order it. So fine, that's of low value at that point in time for your customer. But when your customer is in Nairobi and their luggage is stolen, then all of a sudden becomes high interesting. And so the ordering of the travel insurance is maybe low value. You can automate that. But when somebody is actually in distress, you know, somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Africa, and they need help, that's when you need to pay personal attention. So I really think, look at what you want to automate properly and see what your customers experience as valuable, and don't assume that you think you know what they think is valuable. Just actually do the research. Once you have that very clear, you will see that the things that you can automate are really easily done, and you know, we call them low-hanging fruit, and the implementation can be extremely quick and not expensive at all.
So extremely quick, would that be weeks or days? Yeah. Or a month?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
Yeah, so we can automate emails, for example, so answering simple requests. So just to take that that recycling company, the trash company, to take their example, it took us 2 weeks. What we did was say, okay, you've got 2-3 years of email history of companies ordering replacements for a paper trash collection. Just give us those. We feed it into AI. AI learns what a request for a paper trash replacement looks like. That takes about 10 minutes to run more or less 1,000 emails through. And then after 15 minutes, it knows what a new email, it will actually understand when somebody sends a new email, hey, I want my paper trash replaced. It will actually understand that. So that part only takes a couple of minutes. And then what you need to do after that is see, okay, how can you automate that? What's the first thing that we can do to reduce the time spent on that process?
Okay, so that sounds interesting for a lot of companies, I guess. So this is something you built up over 10 years. So obviously, my next question is to conclude this session here. What do you expect from 2020? Is there anything big coming up there, or do you expect specific movements to happen in your industry?
100%, 100%. The keyboard and the mouse is going to disappear. We're going to get rid of the keyboard and the mouse, and we're going to start talking. Our applications will still exist, but the way that we interact with them is just totally going to change. That's going to be a massive paradigm shift.
Also, your voice recognition, is that what you
exactly
mean? Home
exactly.
Devices, that kind of stuff?
Exactly. Well, also in interpersonal communication. So as I'm talking to you guys, we can have AI listening to this conversation and start picking out the things that would need to be done purely based on what a customer is saying to a call center agent and the other way around. So to me, that's going to be the start in 2020, at least a massive shift in the way we interact with applications and the new capabilities that come from that. Because we can also detect emotion, right?
Yeah.
So when you have a customer that's mad, you know, you can give the agent more time or help the agent in saying specific things to calm the customer down. Or if the customer is very happy, we, you know, equally take action on that.
So basically, when you, if you want to do this, you have to look at your process of the whole customer facing thing. Find out which part can be is that non-personal part. Get that automated so that your customer care or your customer facing person can act like a person the whole time.
Exactly.
And have a listening ear, have a responsive attitude instead of being a person that is working with a system. And so you're actually killing the sentence. One moment, sir, I'll have to look into the system. Sorry, my system is not giving any feedback. Sorry, the system is down. I can't help you. You get rid of that. You say, okay, what's your problem? What's the, how can I help you? I listen to you. And at the meantime, the AI is listening in, has an interpretation of that whole thing. And when I'm finished, I just hang up and I'm done, because at the background, the AI has taken this all in account and has processed that in the process. And me as the customer facing person can really focus on the human factor. Is that?
100%.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, nice and concise. Yeah.
Wayne, thank you very much for being on the show. I think you shared some valuable insights for us on a topic that we've never reached or talked about before, customer contact in this case. So this is a new topic for us and very interesting, I have to say. So thank you very much, and all the best for 2020. And when we're talking about voice recognition, this is something we'll definitely cover next year. So we might re-invite you to the podcast again next year or somewhere next year. Thank you very much, Wayne.
I would like that very much. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.